from NPR Music. You're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. A glorious day today, wouldn't you all say?
We're having fall down here in the South.
And that's Ann Powers in Alabama. I'm here with Stephen Thompson and Robin Hilton. One of the things I love about the fall, more than just the weather, is the flood of music that comes. I just can't even believe the amount of records that are coming out this fall. We've previewed so many of them. We've previewed Cults already, Lucius, Tim Hecker, Paul McCartney, Avett Brothers, Juana Molina, Kate LeBond. Throw in others if you've heard it, but we put them on the show. But there's still so many more. And all day today, we're going to bring to the table a whole bunch more new releases, many, many premieres, exclusives, and all that stuff. So let's get right to it. And Stephen Thompson, I'm counting on you to play the first great piece of music.
All right. So I've got a new single from MIA, who can always be counted upon to stand out in one way or another. This album, Matangi, that comes out November 5th. One of the first things we were hearing about it is that she was threatening to leak it in order to force her label to put it out. She's currently engaged in a big kerfuffle with the NFL over giving the finger during a Super Bowl halftime show. She's always good for some sort of
drama
of one kind or another. And what first jumped out at me about this song, Come Walk With Me, when I was first hearing little teasers of it, was how combative it wasn't. But then about 90 seconds in, because all they teased was kind of something sort of sweet, the song takes a turn. So let's hear Come Walk With Me by MIA from the album Matangi.
Take the same path tonight. For the ride, I got plenty of time. What doesn't kill us, it makes us. I'm gonna still fuck with you.
I guess he is coming back.
With power. I love that. It's like a girl group song, kind of. Part of it is, anyway.
Well, it's interesting because it starts off very, almost a little cloying, you know, where it's just focused on her voice and this very simple sound. But then as she starts to scramble it and stir it around, it just gets livelier and livelier without losing the sweetness of the beginning. It's a neat song, and I'm excited about the record, especially after the last record, which I liked, but it was much more intense and at your throat. I'm excited to hear her move in some different directions.
Awesome. Ant Powers, what do you have?
Well, I think we'll go from one awesome woman to a bunch of other awesome women, because that's what I'm all about.
Nice.
One of my favorite groups is also making a comeback. A much longer span of time has passed since they've been around, but I'm talking about Luscious Jackson, the great New York-based funk, pop, rock, soul band. Kate Schellenbach, the drummer, now lives in Los Angeles, but three of the four women in that group have gotten back together and made an excellent new record, which they crowdfunded, and it's full of songs about being a grown-up, but really fun, funky songs about being a grown-up, and here's one about love in an adult style-y, and it's called So Rock On.
I love the way you live, I love the way you love. Ooh, ah, you found where you belong. Ooh, ah, I'll play your favorite song. I've been looking for liberation. I've been saying, what is this? Get your pants on tight and get with this. It's like a bomb went off in my right brain. Made me jump up high like I'm insane. Cause it's not too late for the inside. There's another song on the flip side. Thank you.
So I'm imagining some awesome play dates with the members of Luscious Jackson and MIA and all their kids. You can definitely see the connection between what MIA is doing and what this pioneering all-woman funk pop punk band is doing. And the whole record just is, it's really sophisticated. There's that reggae influence, which I love. It's just cool, and I'm so happy these women are back.
Yeah, I've missed this band. This band never was bad.
They were never bad, and they were never replaced, I think. They really are singular. I'm not saying there haven't been lots of women who've played funky music. There certainly have, but that particular groove Luscious Jackson has, I think we need it. We need it back in our lives, and we get it.
Completely agree with you.
Well, speaking of strong women we need in our lives, I'm going to go with a band called Jucifer.
I thought you were talking about Anne.
Yes. Add them to the play date. That's going to be fun.
Fronted by Amber Valentine. This is a duo, Amber Valentine and Edgar Livingood. They started in Athens, Georgia about 20 years ago, and I think that these days they're on a permanent tour with no real home base. Just a very loud, sludgy, aggressive metal group. Their sound's gotten a little more abstract over the years. They used to do some really cool riffs in their early stuff, and it's gotten a lot more abstract in recent records. They got a new album that's officially coming out in October called There Is No Land Beyond the Volga, and it's all in Russian. The band went to Russia a few years ago, fell in love, and they've just have this obsession with Russia. Now, the record is sort of a concept album that talks about the history of Volgograd, or what used to be Stalingrad, and the Volga River and the people there. And I'm going to play a very, very loud song called Shame.
Earplugs in.
You are shame!
That was sweet.
It was really pretty.
Yeah, let me just read a little introduction to the song very briefly that's mm-hmm. included with the liner notes, and this will tell you what that song was about. The 1077th Anti-Aircraft Regiment consisted almost entirely of young female recruits. Poorly supplied to engage aircraft, they found themselves under attack not only from the sky, but also the German 16th Panzer Division, a tank unit. The Soviet regiment turned its M1939 guns against the tanks and fought until, it is believed, the 1077th was completely destroyed.
They got most of that.
Yeah. Though the women died trying to hold their line, they destroyed or damaged 83 tanks, 15 Nazi vehicles, and shot down 14 aircraft.
Was that when she dropped the F-bomb? Was that?
I don't know if I heard an F-bomb in there, but that just, it sounds like a military assault. It just sounds sounds like all-out war.
I just feel like every time I pick a song, it's like, here's the story behind it. I'm sad because a girl doesn't like me.
This, on the other hand, I feel I can work it into my daughter's fourth grade curriculum.
Whoa, I want to know.
You know, this is a Jucifer. That was Jucifer in the song with Shame from their record, There Is No Land Beyond the Volga. It's a very unpredictable group. They're just as likely in their live shows to go from that to sort of a sweet little pop song. And, you know, Amber... Valentine, she put out earlier this year her own solo record, and it was just this sweetly strummed little pop record that she called Devil's Tower One.
Perfect. Know your fan base.
Jucifer, glad they're back with a new record, officially out on the 1st of October.
And I'd like to play the complete opposite of what you just did.
It's only appropriate.
It's only appropriate. Except for the fact that both, like every one of these first songs in this fall music preview, have all been about women. So is this. It's a band called Churches, spelled C-H-V-R-C-H-E-S. And in all of the decades, the last three or four decades, there's always been this battle where one wins against the other, which is synth bands versus guitar bands, right? So I see that an awful lot now, and I feel like, at least for people who are younger, the synth bands are certainly winning out over guitar bands. Churches, I think, are one of those bands over the next few years that are going to be right at the forefront, or already are. They've only been around for a year. I saw them this weekend at the Virgin Free Fest, and they were just won me over. The record necessarily doesn't. It's very poppy for me, a little over-the-top poppy for me, but I think they have really good, strong songs. The woman is Lauren Mayberry, who's the lead singer of this band. It's a trio, and I'm going to play a song from a new record that's coming out called The Bones of What You Believe, and the song I'm going to play is called Sink.
Gonna fall.
I thought that had a really appropriate line in it. I'll be a thorn in your side until you
figured
die.
You figured that out.
Synth pop,
so
man.
So this is the battle.
This is synth the eternal struggle.
Versus...
But Robin, you're... Yeah. You know, Robin, you're playing like, oh no, man, I'm into metal now. as if you are not just as big a pop simpering.
let's get down to it. You're talking about Twee, and they are from Glasgow, so
and
they
Robin,
have a Twee connection.
And we're talking about churches. So.
We're talking about
bands.
The band churches, and Robin, who is way more Twee than churches.
It's not that. It's specifically the use of the synth sound like that. It's just a production thing that. Yeah.
But I mean, the synths are in service of a big, buzzy, very charming sound. I really like this band, and I think part of it is it has an incredibly charismatic singer in Lauren Mayberry. I think this is it's a fun, charming record, and Robin is wrong.
And smart. I mean, I think...
No, Robin's not smart. Churches is smart.
I'll cut that part out.
He's smartly wrong about churches. I agree. I mean, I do see them as part of the Scottish pop tradition, too. Even some connections to bands like Belle and Sebastian in terms of the storytelling and the attitude, whether it's a guitar or a synth that's leading it.
I also think those songs would work just as well with either. Which is a big test.
And they are two of them at least are guitar players, maybe all three.
The synths are very dominant in the sound, but I think it works.
And that's what it is. It puts up a wall for me that's hard for me to get to the rest of the music.
I broke through seeing them in concert, if you get a chance, and the music has a little less of that reverb stuff that makes me reminiscent of the 80s that would drive me crazy. But the songs are undeniable. I think that's what happened to me and a lot of people in the crowd this weekend at the Free Fest.
So it's 3-1, and Robin is wrong.
Okay, great. Let's go to Anne.
Nothing I'm not used to.
Well, after that happy, somewhat happy, yet secretly angry and intense song, let's go to a totally different mood. Let's go to another planet or a place in the future led there by Deltron 3030, one of the most pioneering hip-hop supergroups, including the producer Dan the Automator, the rapper Del the Funky Homo Sapien, and the turntablist Kid Koala. In 2000, they released an album, and it was a huge groundbreaking concept album of Afrofuturism nerd rap. Del wrote the lyrics for that album in 2 weeks. 13 years later, they've finally come back with their second album, Deltron 3030 Event 2. It has a million amazing guest stars, from actors like Joseph Gordon-Levitt and David Cross to amazing musicians, Damon Albarn, Zach De La Rocha. Celebrity chef David Chang is on this thing. I don't know. It's crazy. But, you know, it really holds together. So we're going to hear a track that is early in the journey of Deltron 3030 Event 2. It's called The Return.
Shrouded in darkness from greed and anarchic conquest, the final operation based ideas and proposals involving privateers serving low blows to Constellation Patrol just to overthrow and obtain supplies for the side that they ride for. Privateer raids on the core system while the whole planet under war conditions, taking more victims than a mutiny, taking over government control in attempts to secure a new republic. What became of it? Planet-wide destruction, constant weapon fire, crushing any production of advancements of science, technology to ease life's difficulties. Every tax dollar went to sweep crime off the streets, but the law would cheat each time. Till operations backfire, defeating the design. Seems like a leap in time, back to simpler days when technological advances were minimal. Whoever survived were thrust into dimmer days. Every portion of the land
decimated in a blaze. Law and order fraction attacks were sent to stage. The star of the show was entertained but a bit afraid.
There's no return. Check it, check it, check it. Deltron Zero and Automator.
There's no return.
Deltron Zero.
Stretch of sand dunes and abandoned shacks and crack houses with rats out in the clear open. I see a few hopeful transients grab a frisky critter to roast some food. Don't know what to do, it was out of our hands. Now we gotta pull straws, figure out a plan. I'm mobbing with a posse, a clan of ragtag renegades looking for living grenades, live ammo, cause it's been in the stage of cutthroat, corrupt folk, pressure too much to cope. We see a woman getting jumped by young punks, high off a night show nine, ain't no light behind those black pupils, no scruples, no rules, so she at their mercy, or so they first think. I leap first, seeing perfect opportunity, I sock two or three in the mouth without room to speak. The rest of my posse peep the nod and proceed to beat the bruisers, confused and dizzy, tossed them in a trash compactor, now they history. The woman was hysterical in fits of grief. Yo, miss, please calm down, they all gone now. Literally minced into little bits between pieces of leftover Chef Boyardee mixed with a couple of booty magazines.
There's no return. Check it, check it, check it. Deltron Zero and Automator.
There's no return.
Deltron Zero and Automator.
There's no return.
Check it, check it, check it. Deltron Zero and Automator.
There's no return.
Deltron Zero.
Do you feel like you've gotten to a different place and time?
Really something special.
I just like the fact that everything I was listening to between like 10 and 25 years ago is suddenly back.
I think all these artists who've come back after 17, 15, 20 years, whatever, they all quit because they thought, well, you know, I'll be old then. I'll be like all of, I'll be 40.
No, I
or
think
whatever.
They're thinking, I think
and they realize I'm still here and wait, I still have things to say. I guess I'll put out another record.
No, I think they were just waiting for the entire music industry to collapse.
Exactly. I'll it come makes back them so much better.
I'll come back when I can make a tenth the money.
Or their children to grow up, or that they can finally get along because they're adults now.
Well, poor Del had Legionnaire's disease at one point. Mm-hmm. Lots of things sidelined him, but I think he sounds great. I think this album is just, it's so rich and fun. I love it, and I waited a long time, and now I'm happy.
It's quite a build on that song, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
There is.
Robin Hilton, we're doing our fall music preview. Let's see, you've given us something incredibly big and loud.
I want to play Sunlux out of this. Sunlux is an artist.
Can we?
We should have a macro that just plays. Like, I'd like to play Sunlux.
But here, his music has evolved a lot since I first started following him in 2008.
Yeah, following is a good word.
I was
going
to say following, by which you mean like
taking
stock,
black and white
his
photos.
Possessions.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunlux, this is the music of Ryan Lott. He's someone who has worked elements of hip-hop into his music a lot before. He's worked with the rapper Serengeti. And yeah, I've been following him since 2008. He put out a record called War at War with Walls and Mazes that I thought was just phenomenal. Ryan Lott, he is a very well-studied musician, and his music is very composed. You can hear it in his compositions. In some ways, I think of it as advanced music, i.e. it's not terribly accessible to to some people. That said, I think this new record that he has coming out this fall in October called Lanterns could be the one that really connects with a larger audience. And the cut I want to play from Lanterns is called Easy.
Thank you.
Saxes just slay me.
Well, I wonder if people like James Blake now have made room for this kind of music to be more, you know, received.
So interesting you say that, because, well, Sunluck, so he's been doing some work with Serengeti. He's done some work with Sufjan Stevens, and has said that he's a massive fan of James Blake, and I feel like you can hear all of those elements on this new record, the influence of James Blake especially. The record's Lanterns. It's out at the end of October, October 29th.
I'm going to do a song by Anna Calvi, someone who I loved dearly when she put out a record about a year and a half ago, early winter of, 2011. She's got a new record called One Breath. Again, it explores this dramatic, these building songs that just burst. She's an incredibly good guitar player. She's an incredibly good performer and a fabulous, fabulous singer. She knows how to write for herself. You know, some artists really wish they had more than they do, and they write songs that are really good songs, but they can't quite perform them well, or sometimes it's the other way. She understands who she is very well. And I'm going to play a song from Anna Calvi. Demonstrates that pretty well. Listen to the build and all the dramatic things that unfold in this song called Suddenly.
Calling the earth to find me. stand on the edge of sadness that I can't face. It tastes like I'm leaving. Suddenly I'm leaving all behind. Tell your heart to jump to another. The darkness grows and stand on the edge of sadness that I can't face. It tastes like I'm
I love atmospheric songs that have a little bit of a pummel to them. That's a great song.
Yeah, Anna Calvi and that guitar. There's that one moment where she just scrapes the guitar across the strings and just did the perfect moment.
Your point about her being a great guitarist is one thing that really jumps out at me about her records. Like she,
but the voice, though. I mean, come on.
I wasn't disparaging the voice by comparison. I'm just saying, she's also a terrifically brilliant instrumentalist, and yeah, she's awesome.
Well, that leaves speaking of Stephen.
Speaking of awesome.
Speaking of awesome.
I do not think so.
Setting himself for a gigantic letdown. So I've got to follow that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with this with a band from the Twin Cities. We've talked about a little bit in the past called Polisa. A charming, you know, you were talking about the battle of synths v guitars before Robin was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you still here?
Oh, yeah. So Robin will hate this. Robin's going to hate. Robin hates this already.
Hey, I love the knife, and that's all icy synths. It's a combination of things. It's not just synths.
Well, I think when employed correctly, synthesizers can add an era of mystery and a kind of a sleekness and allure to music. And I think this band does that just fine. Anyway, the band's called Polisa from the Twin Cities. Again, it's kind of that electropop sound. Unlike Church's, there are more effects applied to the vocals that lends their music a certain amount of bleariness that feeds into, I think, the mystery. They've got an album coming out November 12th called Shulamith. So we can premiere a song from Shulamith. You're hearing it here for the first time ever. prepare to have your minds blown. The song is called, appropriately enough, the song is called Smug.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
I think that sounds sexy. I don't know. Not dour, not creepy.
Unless dour is sexy for...
Oh,
dour can be sexy for some.
Very true.
Dour and creepy.
Dour is the sexy for creepy.
Dour is the new creepy. I love the way that the vocals are sung. They're so smeared out. What is probably a Minnesota accent could just as easily be Icelandic. I really like it. It's actually two members of Gangs, but I respond so much more to this than I ever did to Gangs music. I love it. Polisa, the song is called Smug. Album's called Shulamith, and I think it's great, and I am right.
One of my favorite live bands of the last 5+ years or so.
Yeah, we had them at South by Southwest a couple little while back.
Saw them 3 times that week. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Talk about mesmerizing performances, yeah.
They remind me also of another favorite of ours, Exit Music. There's a connection there, I think.
Yeah. The connection, I think, is that both bands are really good.
And play music.
And are both duos with one man and one woman.
Who is Yuna, Anne?
Well, coming out of the darkness into the light, I am bringing you Yuna. We've been talking a lot about the war between synthesizers and guitars, but I really hear an integration of those things in so much music today. And Yuna, who is a young Malaysian singer-songwriter who's working with American producers like Pharrell, who's everywhere these days, and Pharrell's partner Chad Hugo from the Neptunes, is showing how those things can really come together in pop. And Bob, I'm hoping you'll like this because it also reminds me a little bit of Regina Spektor, one of your favorites. This is Yuna, and she has a song from her upcoming album on Verve. This is called Someone Who Can.
Excuses are overrated. Apology not accepted. When I catch you with someone else, stop victimizing yourself. When you want someone to hold on to, I won't be there. When you want someone to laugh to, I won't be there. Somebody will always understand. Somebody will always care. You didn't
So I think that song is a little bit like the church's song in that it has a breezy sound, but a kind of feisty message in it, you know, ultimately. And I really like Yuna's combination of elements. And I think she has one of those voices that could also do really well in EDM. We could hear it in some big hits. She reminds me of Sia a little bit that way, too.
Had that vibe. Do you know if she's worked with John Bryan at all?
I don't think she's worked with John Bryan, but you know who she has worked with is Robin Hannibal of Rye and one of my favorite other records of the year, Quadron. She's definitely someone who works well with a variety of producers, and I could see her working with John Bryan in the future. That'd be great. Good idea, Robin.
Well, I thought of it because here's a song by John Bryan from his soundtrack to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eerie.
That could be a sample.
Yeah, she may have sampled it.
She couldn't. That's
too clean. I think she may have either redone it or got the stem or something for
it.
But
because his is so processed and hers is not.
Yeah.
Well, Chad Hugo of the Neptunes produced that track, so he's certainly someone who's got his ear to the ground that way. So maybe, who knows who came up with that sound or just floating through the ether.
We'll ask. We'll find out.
It's cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
One to grow on.
Stephen, you always manage to reduce this to commercial FM.
I was going for mockery, but...
Poor Dad. I want to play Mount Eerie. It feels to me like the perfect marriage of all the different sounds we've been talking about. The little bit of auto-tune that Stephen referenced earlier, the synths, the metal that I played early on. This is Phil Evram. He's from Washington State. A few years ago, he put out this record called Wind's Poem, which was just this huge, cacophonous, bold metal record. And since then, he's gotten a little bit quieter. He followed it up with a couple sequel records called Oceans... He followed it up with a couple sequels called Ocean's Roar and Clear Moon. And he's decided to revisit some of the songs on those records. He calls them works in progress that continue to evolve. And he's gone back, he's processed them, he's synthesized his voice on the vocals, and he's written new lyrics and added drum machines.
Oh, cool.
It is a completely different sound for him from these previous records. And I was very surprised by it. Thank you. So that's A Hidden Stone. It's originally from Mount Erie's 2009 record, Wind's Poem. So apparently when Phil Evram of Mount Erie was working on his previous two records, he was working with some musicians remotely, and so he used Apple's GarageBand program to spit out sheet music that he could send to them that they could play along. And he also recorded some vocals that at the time he considered these extreme, insane joke versions of the songs. But he said that they started to grow on him, and that they started to sound alien enough that it felt like he was listening to someone else's music. And so at the beginning of this year, he started working on them again, and he said that he decided that these needed to be out there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and I have a quote here from him. He said that he knows that he's perceived as an old-fashioned, analog, nature-loving, anti-technology nostalgic, so he wanted to complicate the perception by making these versions public.
Nice.
So the whole record's like that. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, look forward to it.
It's called Pre-Human Ideas, and it's out November 12th from Mount Erie.
Just a massive amount of stuff we've been talking about. We're also not only going to put this dozen songs, we're each picking three songs, four of us here, that are going to be on the site. We'll put the whole versions for people to listen to, but we're also asking like our staff to gather things, so you know, we'll get some more electronic music on. We'll get stuff from other members of our staff, some more hip-hop and other things, and we'll put that in a playlist that you can go to. So if you go to npr.org/allsongs, and you'll find all of that stuff there. Too much to pack into one show.
Yeah.
And so much good music coming out that I wish I could have shared.
But Stephen Thompson, you have Los Campesinos for us.
Yes. Yes, I love this band. There's an exclamation point at the end of the band's name, Los Campesinos! Exclamation point. And that exclamation point just belongs there. their songs are almost like, I would describe them as lyric sheets set to music. The songs are about these big, knotty bundles of words that just that just spill out and burst in every direction. And you kind of need a lyric sheet to parse them a little bit. There's just so much going on in a given song. But there are also these smart, thoughtful, dark insights that kind of sneak out. So each song takes a long time to unpack. So I'm always very excited about a new Los Campesinos record. They're based in Wales. The album is called No Blues. It's coming out November 12th. Let's hear What Death Leaves Behind.
Listen up.
Steven, I always have this vision of you joining a band like that, going off on the road,
just being carry their gear around for them, and
being one of 8 or 9 people shouting in unison.
I could see it. I really could.
Oh, I love that band, Los Campesinos.
Second act.
Second act. At this point, Anne, I'm just running out the clock. So, you know.
I think you should dress up for this Halloween as a giant exclamation mark. Quickly, things you're looking forward to coming out that we haven't talked about.
Of Montreal.
Yeah.
Fuzz. Sleigh Bells. Eminem, I'm actually very curious to hear the follow-up to the Marshall Mathers LP.
That single's fairly promising.
Arcade Fire.
Oh, yeah. A little band called Arcade
Paul McCartney.
Pearl Jam.
Other rap artists, Danny Brown, Pusha T, yeah. Both have records coming out. I'm really excited about this country record by Brandi Clark and also the new one by Diane Birch, which is fantastic.
Because there haven't been enough amazing country albums by women this year.
I know.
There need to be like 6 more.
I love it. And you guys, I even like an indie rock record right now. St. Rich. I really like that St. Rich record, Beyond the Drone.
Nice.
Guys from Delicate Steve.
Yeah, there's a Shearwater covers album coming out.
Yeah.
There's a Juju album of Nina Simone covers.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Mick Turner from The Dirty Three has a solo record.
There's a Blood Orange record for those of you who like that kind of alt R&B stuff that's on the boards.
I'm surprised Robin didn't talk about Yuck.
Great record, by the way. I love that new Yuck record, even though they lost a member of the band. Still good. I'm going to go out on something completely different. In some ways, it breaks my own rule, my own rule being that it's got to be new music, and this is not, but it's music we've never had before, so I'm going to just say that I'm breaking it, because it's my rule, and, and I have the microphone, and you don't have the microphone. It's so true. So this is a guy named William Onyebar. He's a Nigerian musician, put out about 8 records in Nigeria during the late 70s, early 80s, at a time where folks like Fela Kuti and King Sonny Ade were just huge and big, even in the land of ours here. They really put out music that was just great dance music back in the day, but he didn't. His music made it on a song here, on a compilation, song there, but he's really been a mystery to most. The difference between his music and some of the music I just mentioned was he loved synthesizers. So there was a very much an American funk and synthesizer sound to William Onyebar's music. And now Luwaka Bop, the label, is going to put out a whole record of his music, and I've heard it, and it is just simply phenomenal, wonderful dance music that should be in a club equal to any other great electronic dance music, even though its pulse and rhythm is real skins on drums. There's so much electronic stuff that's so cool in texture. So I'm going to play a cut of his. He's still alive, but he's a born-again Christian who denounced it, who doesn't even talk about the music that he did back then. So I'm going to play a song off this album, which is called Who Is William Onyebar? One of the reasons is because his biography is so complicated. Russian possible filmmaker. There are many questions about who the heck he was. Anyway, I'm just going to play this lead-off cut. It's 10 minutes long. We're not going to play the whole thing because
it's 10 minutes long.
But you'll want to hear more. We'll stream it online at npr.org/allsongs. If there's stuff you're looking forward to, there's a comment section. Tell us what you're looking forward to this fall. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent choices, everybody.
We're going out dancing, everybody. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Thank you. You gotta dance, make a little music.